a psalm that I want to direct your attention to in light of some information that we've been monitoring for a while and have been updated this past week. This was to be included on the FYI part of the agenda under potty politics and the church, restrooms, shower rooms, changing rooms. Okay? So I'm going to give you a little bit of the information sufficient for you to be aware of and pray over. And then when we can convene a broader pool of our people together, hopefully on the Lord's Day, go into a little bit more detail. But Psalm 37 for our look into the scriptures tonight. I want to follow my customary reading habit of going to the end of a place and point out a word in verse 38. Please note that verse 38 says, "The transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end," that's the word you circle, "the end of the wicked shall be cut off." I draw your attention to the word end. If we go back up to the front of the chapter, where normal people begin reading, please notice the identity of the transgressors mentioned in verse 38 at the first verse. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Now the counsel that will be extended to you and to me upon hearing the information that I'll share with you is simply fret not for the following reasons. Fret not. Because in verse number 2, there's a second word you can circle. They shall soon, I like the word soon, they shall soon be cut down like the grass. And wither is the green herb. Then I would have you look again at verse 9. Evildoers, we've already identified, shall be, and I'm liking, cut off. Cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The next verse, 10. I'm liking little while. You can circle. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Then I have you come over to the 20th verse, and I'm liking the word perish. But the wicked, also synonymous with the evildoers, transgressors. The wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Now that is an intimation of the ultimate and final judgment that unbelieving rebels face. A consuming fire. Consuming fire. Now all that I point out, have you circle? Because the council, in light of all of that, for us, in light of what we will see tonight, is fret not. Fret not. The worst, the very worst that the transgressors can muster is but for a little while. It isn't going to be permanent. It may be uncomfortable. It may be frustrating for a while. A little while, but it is not going to be entrenched. Now before I just give you some snippets of the potty politics at hand, having to do with, and basically I see two issues addressing the church and religious liberty, your religious liberty. It's easy to say the church, that makes it impersonal. To a degree. But this will affect your religious liberty. Now, religious liberty at its base is the privilege and the right that we have to live our lives as Christian citizens according to the conscience embedded within us that is shaped and molded by God's Word. Whenever those in authority over us seek to coerce the conscience by their own ideas and their own legislation, we lose our liberties. Now, there is a mindset among some, well, if we just play the ostrich and stick our head in the dirt, it'll go away like everything else does, only except it doesn't go away. The two issues that are basically together on this, one provided a preparatory action, which was the laws that affect traditional marriage. The courts have said the law of the land is that same-sex marriage is to be considered legal. Now, that doesn't affect you or me directly until or unless we are, as a church and as individuals, put in a position where a homosexual couple who want to get married petition our church for the venue and ask this pastor or Pastor Hosh to perform the ceremony. Of course, our conscience would not permit that. And the biblical propriety would not allow such an event to take place in our church. Therefore, begins the legal process of self-defense, which is costly. And in most cases where it has been taken into the courtroom, those who line up on the side of God's word lose. They lose. Not only do they lose the decision, but everything they spent to defend themselves in court, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, is lost. There's no recovery. And then comes the compliance and the enforcement of the judge's ruling, bringing God-fearing people to a place where they must now choose what they will do. Either surrender their liberty, make an exception to their liberty to go along, to get along, or dig in and face fines, jail, or confiscation of the property whenever you reach a certain point where you can't pay the piper. Just as a case. That was a preparatory action to the party politics that we see now going on, where the prevailing public opinion, even in state legislatures and in the federal government system, is that not only do gay people have the right to live their lives according to their conscience, but those who are somewhere between. Today, I feel like a girl, so I want to have all the rights and privileges afforded to a female. If I need to go to the restroom, I need to be able to go in there and not have to worry about a church bouncer kicking me through the door. And so this legislation, now being considered in the state of Pennsylvania, now receiving hearings. And so I, again, want to just give you a couple snippets of some communication that I received from Ted Clater on this, and so that you understand that this is not just some legal theory that people like us who don't have anything better to do drop our gloves on and start duking it out with people. In the state of Massachusetts, the wording of the law there lays the burden upon religious institutions who open their door for public accommodation. Now, do you know any church like ours that is closed to the public? Do you know any church like ours? This is a private club. Now, some churches operate like that. Outsiders aren't welcome. Not because there's a sign out there, but when people come in, they don't feel welcome. They're not made to feel welcome. It's clubbish. I give you that. That happens. But what church do you know puts a sign out front and said, private club, public not welcome? Why else are we here? So for every religious institution who is open for public accommodation, the law in theory at this point saying you must provide all of the accommodations for gay, transgenders, bisexuals, and everybody else goes along with that party in your facilities. And you must, and you've got to like it. And when you address them in personal conversation, you cannot use the traditional terms of description like him or her or she and he, or you face massive fines. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that seems to abridge my liberty. So let me give you this. In the state of Pennsylvania, those who are proponents of this law are playing the 14th Amendment of our Constitution against the First Amendment. The 14th Amendment, they say, should supersede anything that's stated in the First Amendment. The 14th Amendment says this, that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. They say the 14th Amendment to our Constitution overrides any consideration that the First Amendment may suggest. And that First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So you can see by reading the First Amendment how that would fly right in the face legally of the transgender community when they seek to have their way in the malls, in the churches, in the ballparks, any place where the public might frequent. All right, now, so that you understand, this is not just theory. This isn't somebody looking to pick a fight, and here's a good one. But in the state of Massachusetts, churches and organizations are subject to the law. In, I believe it was in the state of Illinois, let me get the article here, where the girl students, says the headline, were brought to tears when trans student continues lewd behavior ignored by the high school. Long story short was that a guy on a day is feeling girlish, and so he wanted access to the girls' locker room at the high school. And so he goes in there, and of course, you know, the girls are in various stages of undress, and so he joins them, you know, and not only does he begin to disrobe in front of them and so forth and so on, and they're being taken back by all this, but seeing their reaction, he begins to conduct himself in an obscene and lewd manner. I won't describe the terms that is in the article. I'll leave that to your imagination. The tears, the students, of course, a number of females in there, quite understandably, were upset by that. And it was reported to the school administration. But because of the law in place, they chose to ignore it. Now, that gets us out of the theory. And so before I read a couple little things here for you, and keep in mind, the counsel is, fret not. Because we win at the end. We win, they lose. Okay, but in the meantime, we got to do something about the situation. The problem that it makes for Pastor Hosh, myself, primarily, we are, in the state of Pennsylvania, mandatory reporters of child abuse. Okay? Now, the question I have, as a mandated reporter, looking at the definition of abuse as the state has outlined it, and looking at the, for instances that the state has supplied mandated reporters, where if you see or observe, or somebody comes to you and says they saw it, and you don't report it, you go to jail. My question is, and the dilemma is, if I am in our restroom the men's room. I'm going to be in the men's room. You can count on that. I'm going to be in the men's room. And some girl who's feeling like a guy comes into the men's room and begins to expose herself. And there might be a kid under the age of 14 standing in there trying to go to the bathroom. Under the state law of child abuse, that's a reportable incident. But under the new law being proposed, that's perfectly acceptable. See the dilemma? So, I don't know if I even have the stomach to give you any of this. Our side, our senators had a panel discussion, and they invited those for, those again, and those indifferent to give testimony before them. Our side, representative by, you remember the name Phil Murren of Ball and Skelly Law, in Harrisburg? He informed the senators that Senate Bill 1306, that's the number you want to remember, 1306 was broad, applying to all employers and would even apply to employing teachers at religious schools. If the school disobeyed the law, expensive, burdensome litigation would be the likely result, and the state would have its unlimited resources to litigate. The fourfold protections cited by the panelists, one and two, those who were for it, would not assure protection for a variety of religious employers' cases that might come before the Human Relations Commissions or the courts if Senate Bill 1306 is enacted. Hint, he says. It is normative for the advocates for Senate Bill 1306 to try to disarm concerned citizens with claims that the First Amendment to the Constitution would preserve their religious liberty. Mr. Murren strongly disagreed. The LGBT community is actively seeking to have the 14th Amendment protections, their special status rights, supersede the First Amendment. If they win that, the barn door is wide open. So I give this to you in just a smidge tonight. Understand that the governor of this state is strongly in favor of the passage of this bill. You understand that most of those legislators who will be voting on it have no idea at all of how a person with religious scruples has their faith permeate all that they do in life. They view their religion at best as an occasion whereby to visit their church, sit through a service, say a few Hail Marys or whatever else they do, head out the door, and that they've done their religious thing. It has nothing whatever to do with how they live their life. They don't understand that. And some of them try to equate the rights of gays and transgenders and the likes with put it on a par of racial discrimination against the blacks. Fortunately, a black couple gave testimony that thoroughly debunked that whole notion of the par of equality with racial discrimination. And so everybody has had their say, and if you are inclined to do anything at all, I can provide for you a sheet, an action sheet. You can look it over, whatever you feel comfortable with. Send it to the throne of grace before you send it out over the newswire anywhere. And understand that the guys in our area, as far as I know, the Jeff Powells, the Don Whites, and so forth, so they're on our side. I think they are. I'd like to believe they are. But a lot of these folks are just completely clueless and ignorant. Their source of information is basically mainstream public policy talking points, and that's all they spin off of. So how does this affect you, this potty politics? Now, they won't call it that. We call it that because that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. If this law is passed, that means that business establishments, restaurants, shopping centers, your remnant shop, our church will have to provide accommodations for the LGBT community and like it. Which means you'll need to put a smiley face on the door to make them feel welcome. Point of the matter is, ladies, If you're in the ladies' room and a dude comes in feeling like a girl that day and you're fully exposed, there's not a thing you can do or say about it. You can't call 911 and say, hey, I've got a voyeur in here. And understand this, the law does not make any exception for the guy who says, well, I feel kind of girlish today, but later on in the week, I'm normal again. Doesn't make any, there's no, not a wording that I've been able to find in any of the legislation that addresses that. So basically what you have, especially on the high school level, which is quite predictable when you got hormones raging in junior high school children and younger, is that the only reason why I gotta feel this way or this way is because I'm curious. And the administrators and the teachers are handcuffed to do anything about it. Now, how that works against the existing child abuse laws, I have no clue. I don't know. Those are questions I will seek to get answers to. And understand that even with the new child abuse laws as they were enacted a year and a half or so ago, they have fielded so many calls they cannot even keep up with the volume. But they didn't figure that out before they passed the law. And so all the net total of abuse cases that they have detected now that they wouldn't have detected before the law were something like 83 out of about 14,000 phone calls that were dropped in. 83. Now I gotta tell you, one is too many. One is too many. But again, government has a way about overreach to accommodate people, especially at election time. Used to be, we used to make fun of politicians because the gas prices would mysteriously come down for the election cycle. We don't even worry about that anymore. Do you have any questions?